This Sunday falls between two great feasts, that of the Ascension of Christ and Pentecost, which will be next Sunday. And the Ascension is when Christ rose in his physical, glorified physical humanity into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God. And so the Ascension reveals who we are in God. We're not utterly depraved or separated from God, but we're valued, and our humanity is given dignity by God. We certainly don't get to heaven by our own strength. We're still creatures, not the Creator. But we're carried by Christ himself. Heaven is our end point, and that is what God's plan is for us if we don't interfere with it, which of course we often do. But we are meant to be with God in heaven, in God as Christ is in God. And that's what today's reading is all about, as it reiterates in that rather confusing fashion when Jesus keeps repeating that we are in him and he is God, and so we are God, so we are in God, and so we should all be one in unity in God. God's will for us is our unity with him through our unity with all the other humans we encounter. That's meeting the body of Christ, being a part of the body of Christ. We cannot do anything on our own, and so Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, and that's next week's Feast of Pentecost. And so the Holy Spirit comes to live with us, to keep reminding us of our divine dignity in God and of the divine dignity of other people. And that allows the unity. And of course, the week of Pentecost has a special focus on unity, and there are two great celebrations. One is the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, as well as National Reconciliation in Australia. Unity, it's a very desirable thing, and we all say we want it, but not all of us really want to make it happen. Maybe it's because when we talk about the wonderful virtue of unity, what we really picture is everyone doing things the way I want, everyone agreeing with me. And that's often how people seem to live their Christian life. They spend an awful lot of energy and time arguing to get other people to change, to become like them. They lobby government to change laws so that everyone will have to live by what they think is right. They harangue people and other Christians to follow their approach to whatever their particular issue is, whether it's abortion or same-sex marriage. In the past it was divorce or women clergy. Unity for them meant other people changing to agree with their view. But what happens then is that the church is split. There's bitterness, resentment. The fruit of the Spirit does not flourish. But doesn't God tell us to go out and make disciples of all nations? Aren't we supposed to tell other people to stop doing what they're doing and act like us? Wouldn't the world be better if we had a Christian government and only Christian laws and everyone had to follow them? And if they didn't, then the government or the police could come in and people would have to go to jail and... Oh, hang on. Wouldn't that then be a world of violence and coercion and force? And that's not the kingdom of heaven that Jesus taught. Not at all. In fact, he taught against those religious authorities who said that if they made more laws, then everyone would be pure. Laws don't lead to salvation. Changed hearts do. Many of us have had to change our behaviour to follow laws or rules at school, at work, in the country, but we still go around muttering under our breath that the authorities are wrong and we are right. A religion of laws is only a human social construct, and it must inevitably collapse because it's not made of the Spirit of the living God. God's kingdom is grace, and there is no violence in grace. There is no force in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus certainly taught a lot and encouraged people to act with God and in God, but he never forced anyone to do so. He didn't overthrow the violent government. But he did bring in a whole new way of living that opened up a doorway, not to human power, but to the kingdom of heaven, in the very middle of a multi-faith, multicultural society of power, violence and money. Jesus did it then, and the new church and the early church flourished, and he's doing it now if we look. But we have to have faith. And remember, faith is the spiritual intelligence to see God at work in the reality and sometimes wrongness of our daily lives. Today's Acts reading show the disciples still working only in their worldly sense, not the spiritual intelligence. They believe, or they ask, whether Jesus' ascension will bring in the restoration of Israel's power. They can still only imagine a good life if Israel is top dog in the scramble of the military dogs for precedence. But Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. What he's saying there is, you won't know for certain what's going to happen, and you never will. You might get hung up saying the world is coming to an end because the government has laws about abortion or euthanasia, etc., that you think wrong. But God and the kingdom of heaven is bigger than any single human issue. Don't look for certainty. Don't fall into the trap that you know the Father's mind and can tell others what to do. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work for social justice, especially if there are unjust laws. We should. But we must never let the issue be our priority. The priority is growing deeper into love of God and others in what we are doing. Achieving the goal is a second-order priority and must not be pursued at the cost of resentment, condemning others who disagree with us. Jesus does say, go out and be witnesses and be my witnesses in Jerusalem. We are sent out to see where God is working, to be my witnesses. We're sent out, therefore, to see where Jesus is already working, not to attract people to us, to our story, to our actions. So witnessing isn't about changing other people's viewpoints, but about our seeing more and more where the love of God is active in others. So we witness the kingdom of love here and now. If what we are doing contributes to argument, hurt, factions, then we're not witnessing God. And the disciples seem to have their eyes open at the ascension, realizing that they have divine dignity in God, have a call to be with the heaven, so they don't focus on the worldly, they go back to Jerusalem, they gather together, and they pray, having God in their center. They are there not just the named disciples, but also the women and Mary. Interesting, isn't it? After the crucifixion, when the physical body of Jesus was killed, they all fled separately in fear. They were afraid because obviously they'd lost the physical person, and they felt abandoned. They were working in a purely physical realm, and that realm is scary. But at the ascension, their eyes were opened to see something amazing. Jesus isn't just a physical person who died and was gone. Jesus is the Christ, the Word of God. He came from the heart of God and he returned to the heart of God. And so therefore he has not left them and can never leave them because he is part of them in their humanity. He is part and they are a part of him and he is a part of God. Their spiritual eyes were opened and they returned to Jerusalem and dwelt together in unity. But this unity of the Spirit of God is not uniformity of agreement about all things. They still argued with one another. They argued whether a true Christian should only eat kosher food or whether a Christian had to be circumcised or not. And there were some strong disagreements in the early church. And just as today's church has factions and people who disagree on what a true Christian is. But we can have unity without uniformity on all things. Because unity, as I said, is about being connected to God and others. Not just connecting people to me. In that upper room were the named disciples, the women and Mary, as I said, all very different people. Some went out to preach and teach, but many others didn't, and they were all witnesses to Jesus in whatever they were doing in their lives. Oh, perhaps, and because of the restrictions of the time, the women didn't go out. But they did become the gentle guides to help others grow spiritually. And some of the early documents show us about the lives of the women who taught the younger generations, who encouraged love, nurtured others by prayer sometimes, or by words, and sometimes by gentle challenges. And these women and all the unnamed men made a difference, and the kingdom of heaven flourished in that ancient place. And today we are called to be witnesses to that kingdom of heaven, the presence of God working and flourishing in other people's lives, to those people in a family, in shops and workplaces. A witness to a car crash doesn't go and tell the jury what to believe or what to do. A witness tells what she has seen. And we are all called to witness to God in other people and in us. So, where have you seen God at work this week? If you have, why not this week let another Christian know so that you can share the glory of what you've seen? Share the glory of God at work in human life. And that sharing is building eternal life. And if you haven't seen God this week, pray that he will open your eyes to see him next week. This is a week of prayer for Christian unity. We don't have to get others to change the way they worship to be like us. We have to look to others to acknowledge the divine dignity in them, and also to see the divine dignity in us, which we see through the ascension of Christ. The Pharisees called Jesus a sinner because he didn't work in their ways, and they did not see his divine dignity. Perhaps this week, if we put divine dignity first, ahead of what our hobby horses are, we might come to greater unity on earth. And some things to ponder this week. When have I felt judged this week as less than others? What difference does it make to me if I remember my divine dignity that Christ showed in his ascension? Or perhaps you might think of someone who is irritating, annoying, or damaging. How does thinking about their divine dignity in Christ help me pray for that person? May you be blessed this week as you walk in the divine dignity of God, to see his presence and to be a part of witnessing to his glorious presence in your life. God be with you.